The KC Press Box, where you get the sports headlines that you care about. Plus, learn to make cold, hard cash with the Sportsbook 101 that teaches you every aspect of sports investing. The lineup is ready. The players are set. And now, let's head to the KC Press Box with your hosts, Steve Serrano and Dave O.
There was a deal made. Somebody made a lot of extra money just to stay 1 year. Welcome to the KC Press Box. You know who I'm talking about. His name starts with a C, ends with a J. Wait, no, it starts with a C.
Yeah.
His last name starts with a J. Welcome to KC Press Box.
We know what you mean.
Chris Jones. We got a lot to talk about today on the show. I am Steve Serrano. This guy is Dave O. And this is season number 3, episode number 2. And football is back. I think we can fully say football is back in full swing.
Thank
am I right?
God. Although week one was a bit rough. So
week one, but you know what? I think I even watched it on national TV. You can't base a lot off of week one. Offenses don't start clicking until about week 3, week 4. But there was definitely some of the, what I would call the big horses.
Yeah.
The big horses didn't play well.
Well, and, right? And, you know, we were panicked about the Chiefs losing on Thursday night about home field, and then the Bills and the Bengals go and poop down their legs.
Hold on. Pump the brakes here. Nobody was panicking except for you and your social media.
Okay.
You were done. We could pull up your social media platform and basically read what Dave was saying. Oh, this is it. We're done.
Never said that. Never
Tony,
said that.
Get rid of Tony. I mean, you saw the post I made. Did you read what I wrote about Tony?
You copied and pasted some guy.
Doesn't matter.
You didn't make the post.
Somebody
else made the post.
I'll read that about my stuff.
The point being, a lot of people did very badly this week. So my post, what he's talking about, I said there's a small margin for error for home field advantage now is all I said.
Correct. It's over.
That's your version of panicking.
You were panicking.
I was not panicking.
There's nothing to panic about.
There was a lot of good in the Chiefs game, too. We'll talk about it.
There was a lot of good, and there's obviously
defense looked great.
Some things that we need to work on. And I think
including play calling on top of the receivers.
Coach, I think, said the best thing post-game, too, if you listen to his press conference after the game. We should have intern Lefty get that stuff for us next time so we can play some of the audio.
What if we had a coach that would call a quarterback sneak and not run trick plays on fourth and an inch over and over?
That's dumb.
Why, how is that
why would you put the billion-dollar guy in a quarterback sneak?
Then bring in Blaine Gabbert for one play.
Fine. You're not going to put Patrick
Mahomes.
Have
Blake Bell sneak it.
Do you remember what happened to Patty? He got hurt.
That's 6 years
There's
ago.
There's no need for that.
Tom Brady was 75 and still running quarterback sneaks.
It's game one. Yeah, and look what happened to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that wasn't a quarterback
too soon. Yeah, it's still he's moving around. Welcome to the show. Obviously, we're a little heated today, and I feel like more than anything else, we're going to jump in to a lot of the upcoming games. We're going to have KC insider Jake Lutz. He is currently at the casino, so we're going to get him to step away here in just a moment.
Is Travis Kelce currently with Taylor Swift? Do we know that?
Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, they're currently bad romance.
Is she in the locker room right now?
No, there's no possible
way. What if her and Brittany watch a game together in the box? Wouldn't that be amazing?
There's no possible way that Taylor and Travis Kelce are together.
What are the odds,
nobody's got time for
that Taylor ever makes an appearance at a Chiefs game? Even money? Is there like one time at least?
No.
Not once?
Yeah. No.
So you don't think it's real?
No.
Okay.
But a lot to talk about. Chris Jones signs, the Bills, the Bengals, they all lost.
How about Mizzou and K-State head-to-head this
Mizzou
Saturday?
Because K-State, Colorado versus Colorado State. And you know what? Before we even start the show,
you bring up
something great.
There we go.
I think on tape, we didn't put it on tape, unfortunately. That's what they call this when you're recording things. I made a bet off camera, off tape, off tape. That,
off tape?
Off tape, excuse me.
Okay, Batman.
That Colorado would beat Nebraska. Let's rewind the tape for just a second. Let me explain something. Dave O is a huge Nebraska fan. Went to school at Nebraska. Colorado, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Okay? I like Colorado except I like Prime. I like what he's done. I like what he's doing.
I like Prime too, but it's $14 a month. Are you talking about Dion? Different Prime.
Dave, you want to break it down?
Nebraska's quarterback sucks. That's the end of the story. Nebraska has walk-on wide receivers that apparently I thought could catch the ball, but the quarterback sucks. Nebraska, that game would have been actually probably a 7-point Colorado win if they had a quarterback that knew what he was doing. So they still would have lost, but they shouldn't have gotten killed. Let's put it that way.
So my question is, 4 weeks from now, does Nebraska lose again?
Like, will they have won, you mean?
Nebraska, do they lose again if they would play Colorado again in 4 weeks?
In 4 weeks? Probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Colorado is for real. I think when they're going to get trampled in the I don't think so.
Colorado versus Colorado State.
I think TCU is freaking weak as hell. The Big 12 doesn't play defense.
TCU. Right, so I had to bring that up. Dave-O, we normally would jump straight into Casey Insider Jake Lutz, but I do have some audio. A lot of people, again, thank you guys so much. If you, wherever you found our podcast, we really appreciate it. We do have a website, too, so no matter wherever you found us, you can go to kcpressbox.com. You can send comments in, too. If you want us to talk about certain things on the upcoming show, we do this every single Wednesday.
Might have some videos soon, too, right? Yeah, in the videos. Future?
September 13th, the time that we're currently taping this show for KC Press Box. But again, wherever you found us, Spotify, Apple iTunes, whatever it is, make sure you just check out our website too at kcpressbox.com. We got a really excited about a couple new sponsors that are going to be joining the show. So we're excited to give you opportunities and our listening ears to win some things too. So people asked, I'm not surprised, Dave, people asked and they wanted to bring something back. And I get it. Because sometimes
you got it this week.
If you know it, this is Davo's rant. We used to be a 60 second. How much time you want now?
30.
You need only. That's what we hear that a lot from the ladies. Only needs 30 seconds.
Make that minutes.
Minute 30? That's still not that great, bud. All right, minute 30 on the clocker. Davo only takes seconds. 30 seconds for the ladies. Here we go. 30 seconds. Let's go.
My rant, Joe Burrow, what in the hell is wrong with you? Let's talk about return on investment, ROI. $146.51 million for Joe Burrow, a record. That's guaranteed quarterback contract, $146 million. Breakdown per pass completed, he made about $45,000 in this game. Joe Burrow, what are you? No, that's not even right. It's like $450,000 a pass. Anyway, the point is, I'm sitting on my couch and I scored 3 less points than Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They were my lock of the week. They pissed it down their leg. Joe Burrow, I am over it. You look like crap. I'm so sick of Bengals fans acting
all
like
right, this. All right. I have a question, though. Nothing to do with your rant. 3 interceptions.
Josh Allen was 4. Allen. Wasn't it 4?
No, it was 3 interceptions.
And a fumble.
What's up?
He did that YOLO ball last year. It's like he's like a rookie again when he was doing that YOLO crap. I don't know, but the bigger question for him, did you see the play?
Sorry, it's not even on our script today.
Before we call Jake Lutz, did you see the play Monday night where he was running like 7 yards short of the first down, could have gone out of bounds, then decides to stay in and try to leap over 2 guys and like does a flip on the back of his head?
Yes.
Like, does the guy just want to get hurt? Like, he realizes he will get hurt, right? You cannot do that over and over.
And I think some of the national TV, too, they did the same thing. They're like, okay, there's certain things. Obviously, you got to make smart decisions. Well, throwing 3 interceptions.
We saw Rodgers get carted off in the same game.
And what was a third down and long?
Yes.
There's no need for that. So I definitely a lot for me to take in when it comes to the Bills, because I was a little surprised to see that, even with Rodgers going down after 4
Will they rebound this week? We'll talk about that in every game against the spread in a bit, but I think we bring in Jake Lutz now.
All right, hold on. I got
the casino.
Connect. What else do we have coming up on the show as I connect him?
Yeah,
our
my
producers
lock of the
connect.
Week. We took an L in week 1, but that's fine. We're still hitting just over 65% lifetime since season 1. We'll get back on track with a lock of the week later on in the show to make some money. But yes, every single game by game against the spread, and Jake Lutz, KC Sports Insider right now, we're going to bring him in, talk a little K-State versus Mizzou, talk a little Chiefs and Chris Jones, even Kansas. I've never thought I'd see the day where Kansas is this big of a favorite. So let's bring in.
Do you like the uniforms they wore? KU wore?
Those were hot.
Right? They were good.
What they call those? The Blackhawks or something? They had the 1942 Jayhawk logo on the helmet.
Let's just hope this guy answers. He's always at the casino.
And you can't have phones at the table. So
no, you can't.
Hopefully he's walking to the bar.
He's got an earpiece in or something.
He drinks a lot, so.
Jake?
Hey, guys.
There he is. There he is. KC Sports Insider, Jake Lutz, who we got to give Jake some credit, by the way, Steve. He drilled his favorite pick of the week. He got, I think, what'd you go, 3-1 in your four bets last week?
Yeah, I got the KU and K-State games right. I did not get the Missouri game right. In fact, they almost lost that game outright.
Pathetic.
Which was pretty embarrassing. But other than that, yeah, it was a solid week.
Yeah, so Jake, you're doing well. Let's start off with local team number one. Now, we go in chronological order usually, but let's start with this one. It's the lesser of the more important games here. 9:30 p.m. Saturday night. Man, I love these 9:30 games, Steve, back in the day especially, because you can always bail out your bad day if you need to. There's always Hawaii at 11 p.m. You know, if you're down for the day, that's all right. You still got Hawaii. But this week we got KU minus 28 at Nevada. Jake, I haven't looked too much into Nevada. I know you have. That's a lot of points. Will Kansas cover 28?
It is a lot of points. Now, Nevada is really, really bad. So this team's 0-2 so far this year. First game was at USC. They gave up 66 points, which is understandable. They were playing next year's number one draft pick in Caleb Williams. So to be expected, get crushed by USC. But this past week, they had their home opener against Idaho, which is a mediocre Big Sky team, and lost that one 33-6 home. So this is not a good football team, guys. I just still not sure if I would. 28 points is a lot. It's a lot. I think KU could cover it, but as I told you guys last week, I'm more interested again in the over. If the over under is under 60 in a KU game, I'm probably going to be taking the over, and that seems to be the case again in this one. I believe it's at 58.5 right now. I think Kansas scores probably 40-plus points. It's just a matter of whether Nevada can score a few touchdowns, which KU's defense isn't great, so I'm hoping even if it's a couple late ones in third or fourth quarter, if the resting guys, they can get us there. So I do like the over. Not sure if I would touch the point spread. If I had to pick one way, I would probably take KU because, again, this Nevada team is bad, guys, and KU has looked really, really good. Jalen Daniels looked healthy last week. The offense was clicking. And the defense really played pretty well against Illinois. Struggled a little bit late in that game, but they were solid and had them pretty much buried in the first half.
All right, let's switch to your old school. So let's try to put that to the side, Jake, all right? I want you to think for the people here, okay? Not what your heart says, okay? I know what your heart says.
Think what your bank account says.
Yeah, K-State, 5-point favorite at Mizzou. At Mizzou, it's going to be 11 a.m. Central Time Saturday morning. What's your thoughts here? Are you going, by the way, to the game?
I'm not going. I wish I was.
Are you going to be at the sorority house? Are you going to be at the sorority house? Where are you going to be?
No. Oh, sorry. No, I'll be watching from home.
Oh, okay. My bad.
But I will tell you, I bet for a guy who roots for Mizzou, I bet against him quite a bit. And it's worked out pretty well during the Drinkwitz era. So this game, K-State, 4.5-point favorite, 48.5 total. Saw from multiple books that over 90% of the money is coming in on K-State to cover this right now, and that's more than any game out there on the board right now. It was the highest rate. And, usually I don't like to go with the public on these type of things, but, it did work out very well last week all that money was coming in on Colorado, Devo. And, that worked out against your husband.
Okay. That's twice on the show now. You guys have, that's fine.
Well, let's be honest.
It's a good comparison of what we're dealing with this week, where I think the public is correct again on this, where I think K-State should be favored by 7 in this game. This is a very good K-State team. They looked really good against Troy, who was a solid team and probably going to be a very good team this year.
Except for the quarterback. I don't think their quarterback's that good.
Well, maybe not. But again, still, K-State easily covered last week, scored 42 points. Will Howard so far this year, getting 5 total touchdowns last week. He's been solid. And Missouri has been the opposite of that so far through 2 weeks. I mean, they almost lost last week to Middle Tennessee. They probably should have lost that game. and they didn't even turn the ball over once, and it was still a 4-point game, and Middle Tennessee had a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter. So it was bad. Brady Cook, their QB, has struggled. Their offense just lacks big plays. They refuse to throw the ball down the field. Everything is short screen passes. The running game's been okay so far this year, but they've struggled against two really bad teams, and now they're facing a defense that is really, really good. Also, we saw this game 1 year ago. Now, it wasn't Manhattan, but K-State dominated Missouri last year. Missouri turned the ball over 4 times in that game through 4 interceptions. K-State didn't even have to do anything on offense because Missouri just kept getting them short field over and over again. And I do think Missouri needs this win badly, but I'm not sure they're going to get it. So Missouri's head coach, Eli Drinkwitz, this is his fourth year now. He is 19-19 in his career at Mizzou, which is not great. Against ranked teams, guys, 1-9 over 4 years.
Wow.
And that one win was against South Carolina last year. They were ranked 23rd and were never ranked again that season. So just to put in perspective, they have not fared well against good teams. And I don't see that changing this week. I think K-State's too good. I know Missouri has the home field advantage this week, but I in order for Missouri to win this game, they're going to have to keep it low scoring because this team doesn't look like they can score more than, 24 to 27 points on a good day. So I like K-State 27-17. I even think they win this game by more than a touchdown. So,
wow.
Favorite bet of the week for me, yes. K-State minus 1.5.
Okay, so the Chiefs in Jacksonville. I'm going to get your predictions here. A couple questions before that real quick. The Chris Jones contract, what does it mean for this team, and what are your thoughts on that contract?
So it's really interesting because I was thinking maybe that he was going to get a lot more money from this one-year deal, and it really doesn't look like that's the case. He's got to really hit all of those incentives in order to get up to what is it? I think around $25 million is what he could get it to.
Mm-hmm.
So it does. I think it was kind of a failure by his agents, in my opinion, and him to, they didn't. I don't really know what they gained out of this.
Nothing.
And it didn't. Nobody really gained anything out of this. I think. I'm glad at least the deal is done so we can move forward this year. Obviously, I would assume he's going to want to try to hit all those incentives, so he'll be playing, really hard, as we should expect. But I don't know what's going to happen now if a long-term deal will be met. I'm sure they will go to the table again and attempt it after the season or maybe during the season, but I don't know. I'm glad to have him this year, but I'm not sure what that means for the future after what's happened the last month.
I mean, he's definitely got to prove himself. Right. I mean, I guess if you're going to do something, let's let him prove himself because it only benefits us.
He's also 30. I mean, you're right. What did he gain? Why not just take the 3-75 and what they were doing there? Because next year, I think they just trade him probably at the end of this year and have a big year and then clear the cap space and get some picks. How concerned are you with drops on this team, Jake, in that first game? I mean, it was bad. Is this just a fluke? No big deal because, Tony hardly had a training camp. To me, Sky Moore was the bigger concern, not being able to get open or do anything and dropping that big fourth down play. What are your thoughts on the drops in the receiving room here?
I mean, this is what we were, not necessarily a drop, but just the receiving room in general is what we were concerned about all offseason because they didn't really make upgrades, other than drafting Rashee Rice. They had a lot of issues. I mean, Tony looked like a guy who hadn't practiced because he really hadn't. He hadn't been in training camp, and he'd had basically a few days of limited practices. So the drops were bad for him. That was probably, hopefully that'll be the worst game of his career because it was brutal. He was only on the field for 16 snaps, and seemed like every one of those was a significant minus. So I do think, though, I mean, they're going to have Tony contribute and going to be relying on him heavily. I would not be surprised if we see them get the ball in his hands early and often in this game this weekend and get him back on track. So I'm excited to see what it looks like. Sky Moore was also a concern. He was actually out on the field, I think, more than any other receiver on this team, but he was not targeted much, and when he was, couldn't come up with the catches. Some of them, were a little behind him, but still, when that ball hits your hands, you got to make the catch. And he was not able to do that. He was not able to get open most of the night. So, yeah, I have concerns about him. I like what I saw from Rashee Rice, but again, he wasn't on the field that much. I think he was at, 20 snaps? I think that will continue to increase as the year goes on, I think, as he gets more familiar with the playbook and gets his feet under him. So, again, his small sample looks good, but yeah, I'm hoping it was a fluke. I've never seen anything like that with the drops literally costing you a game, but that was the case last week.
Well, it's just like at some point it would be nice, in my opinion, if we got some receivers that or size that had a little size that weren't these little gadget players. I mean, we saw Mecole Hardman go and play one snap for the Jets. It was a special team snap. We're seeing Sky Moore, the undersized guy, doing nothing. It's like, can we get like a physical, bigger type receiver that can go over the middle, that can make a play, that can jump? One other thing I'll say before we get to your prediction for this game, and Steve, I think you'll agree with this too, is that Travis Kelce got injured Tuesday, correct? The game was on Thursday.
Yep.
I do think it's important to note that they had installed the plays in the game plan for this game with the thought that Kelce was going to play. It's not like Andy had 6 days where he's like, okay, correct. I'm not going to have Travis, so we can do this. So some of it, I thought the play calling was brutal, the fourth down play. So, I mean, they've got to at some point run a quarterback sneak. Steve disagrees, but I think you've got to at some point. But the play calling was not great in this game. But let's also keep in mind that this game was set up. The game plan was installed with Kelce playing, Jake. So that probably is something to keep in mind that we should. But let's get to the predictions for this game. Well, Steve and I will give ours a little bit later on in the show, but we want to get yours before we let you go here. And thanks for your time. The Chiefs are a 3-point favorite in Jacksonville. The over-under is 51. Predict this game for us.
So I think the Chiefs go in there and win this game by a touchdown. I think they're going to be fired up. I think having Chris Jones back will be huge. If Kelce, even if he's not on the field for his normal allotment of snaps, even if he's in there just for high leverage, red zone, third down. That'll be, I think, big enough. He was a monster last year against Jacksonville both games. He had three touchdowns over the two games. So I think the Chiefs win this one by seven. I'll say 34-27 on this one. I think the over hits as well because, you know, Jacksonville's got a good offense. We saw that. They saw him struggle a little bit in this game in the second half, but I think the addition of Calvin Ridley we saw was going to be massive for them, and Trevor Lawrence has continued to improve. So I think they'll keep it close enough for it to be a game, but I think the Chiefs will pull away and win this one by seven.
You're not worried about Sunshine? Sunshine, I mean, he's got that hair looks good, though, doesn't it? Don't we all just wish we had hair like that?
Trevor Lawrence here. Hey, how good did Calvin Ridley look, by the way, last week? Remember when he screwed you and I, Steve, in fantasy? Well, he just disappeared and started gambling on the games?
Jake, we appreciate you being on the show like always. I don't want to take too much time. I know I can hear him. They're telling you to get back to the blackjack table. So you do you. We appreciate you. And let's hope Nebraska loses again so we can have some fun again. All
I
right?
hate you guys. I hate you both. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Jake Lutz. There he is, KC Insider. We appreciate him being a part of the show. A lot to take from Jake's, obviously, insight, especially when it comes to Mizzou versus K-State.
He knows his college, man. Yeah. He's an expert at that.
Yeah, he definitely knows the college girl. I mean, the colleges there at the sorority house. I mean, at the college casino. Campus.
The casino, campus, yeah.
My apologies. KC Press Box coming up a little bit later on the show. The guy is 46-24. We're talking about the lock of the week. If you're breaking that down, that's 66% coming up later in the show. Right before we leave, Dave will give you his predictions to guarantee that cash. Again, we talked about it last week. Gentlemen, randomly met him at a live appearance here in Kansas City. He walked away with close to over $4,000 that he's won for just listening to the KC Press Box. So we wish you all well. No guarantees. So don't break his legs. He's got some tall legs, but don't break them. But now it's time to move on. We got a lot to talk about, Dave. We got a lot of games.
Let's go.
Are you ready to do this?
Let's go.
All right, so I'm gonna break it down just like if you missed it last week too. I'm gonna go game by game. We'll do their Chiefs. Obviously, that's the home team for us. So we'll jump into that at our very, very last prediction, as we just heard Jake saying that they would win by seven. Let's start it off. Tomorrow night, Minnesota Vikings traveling to the Eagles, Philly. It's -7. Philly is favorite on this, and it's a 49 over-under on that.
Primetime Kirk Cousins. What do we see him do in primetime all the time? Lose. He's gotten blasted in the past at Philly in this exact same matchup. This is a game, though. It's 7 points. I didn't think Philly looked that great. Bill Belichick's the best coach of maybe all time, but certainly today they can always scheme, and Mac Jones looked pretty good last week in the game. I still don't buy this offense though that much for Philly this year. I think they're going to take a step back this year, Steve, as weird as that is to say. I still think Jalen Hurts is a top three quarterback in the NFL. I think he's phenomenal.
People love him, though.
Yeah.
They love this team. They say it's got the best team.
Kirk Cousins responds in primetime, as dumb as that is to say, because he never does, but he struggled last week. I still think the Vikings offense was kind of, we saw so many good offenses have that week one struggle, and I think a lot of that, we didn't talk about this, Steve, but a lot of that's probably just because they didn't play during the preseason, so it's almost like this was their final preseason game. My point being, 7 points is too many to take the Eagles. I don't love the Vikings at +7, but the Vikings are certainly the play at +7 here.
All right, let's move on to our next game. That's, again, Thursday Night Football. Let's jump to our noon games on Sunday. This time, can they come back? I'm talking about the Bills. Can he throw less than 3 interceptions? That should be on there. By the way, a fun fact, did I send you the meme of Josh Allen's face that he has completed more passes to Aaron Rodgers' team than Aaron Rodgers?
That's so mean.
It's true.
Can't believe you would say that about Aaron.
3 picks.
He's struggling with
poor
a lot.
Guy. All right, so I'm talking about the Raiders. They'll travel to Buffalo. -8.5, 46 over under.
So Buffalo is definitely going to respond here. I still think Buffalo is a good football team. I love Matt
Milano. Can they drop, though, to the Raiders straight up?
No, they'll win that game. But I like Matt Milano, by the way. We always talk about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and James Cook. But Milano on defense, I like the way they play on defense. He's kind of the captain of the D. I still think that their defense is pretty good. I still think the offense is different. They're going to play more, you know, one less receiver, less Gabe Davis this year, now that they have Kincaid in there along with Knox, so double tights a lot more. So they're kind of, I think, Steve, going through, and Josh is what Pat had to go through a couple years ago, where teams are kind of blanketing the deep, the too high safety look. They're kind of making them have to dink and dunk, throw to the running back and tight ends, and that's not something that Josh Allen loves to do. Point being, 8.5 points in this game. A little rich for my blood. I'll take the Bills.
Eight and a half.
Do we have this game as part of a teaser and later on in today's show? Ooh. Is that a hint? Maybe. I love this game in a teaser. I love this game in the money line, as you said. Buffalo 100% wins the game. The 8.5 is a bit rich for my blood. If I had to make a pick, though, I would take that in the over. But I love them in a teaser or a money line parlay. I love the defense getting back on track. Jimmy G looked okay. First game with the Raiders. Josh Jacobs kind of meh. So I just don't think this Raiders team is very good.
All right. How about the team that beat the world champs? They're favored by 5.5. They'll bring in the Seattle Seahawks. Who wins this one? And it's 47.5 over under.
Well, the Detroit Lions played very well against the Chiefs. I think their defense was the big story. Now, the Chiefs had a lot of drops. The Chiefs probably should have scored 10 to 14 more points, and then maybe it doesn't look quite as good for the Lions. But still, a better defense than it was. But let's not act like this Detroit Lions defense is the New York Jets, you know, one of these elite defenses in the NFL. They're not. I love Seattle here. I really do. I think Seattle came out and just looked absolutely awful against the Rams. Couldn't score in the second half. Geno Smith just, you know, we saw him getting his head. We saw him getting DK Metcalf's head with more stupid unsportsmanlike penalties in this game. And the Seahawks defense was brutal in that game. Let's be real. I mean, couldn't do anything. Puka now the number one ad in fantasy football. A lot of that's because he's talented, yes, but in no Cooper Kupp for a few more weeks. But the Seahawks defense was brutal. I think Pete Carroll's a great coach. I think Detroit's getting a little overrated. There's no way Detroit be favored by 5.5 points in this game. I think there's a pretty good shot if you want to take this on the money line. You could take Seattle to win the game outright. If you want to tease them up, you could take them that way. But I just love them as a standalone plus 5.5 or 6 as well. I think Seattle has a pretty, probably a 40% chance of winning the game and about an 80% chance of covering the game.
All right, let's jump on to our next game. The Ravens, the Bengals. Can the Bengals drop again?
This is a good game.
This will be a really good game. Excited again for this. Again, Sunday noontime here, Central Time. Bengals favored by only 3.5, though.
Well, the Bengals can't afford to drop another game here, man. I mean, already, especially losing that division game last week here, 3.5-point favorite. Baltimore, interesting. He got a new offensive coordinator. We saw, you know, Mark Andrews last week, and of course, just feel bad for J.K. Dobbins. Again, season-ending injury for the second time in 3 years, I think it is, and his career probably pretty much over at this point. You can't have this many serious leg injuries, and his time's going against him and injury history. So it'll be interesting to see what the Ravens do offensively, though. Lamar only ran the ball, Steve, 6 times. You and I both thought after he got that new contract, maybe he'd start running the ball and acting like he wanted to be there and play like, you know, only ran the ball 6 times. How much of that is him just not wanting to do it? How much of that is the new OC? I don't know, but, you know, there's some decent receivers here. No Mark Andrews. Hopefully he's back in this game for the Ravens. I think, though, in this game, the Bengals, that hook screws with your head, right? That half point, it always does dick with you a little bit. And it does here, too. I'm going to go ahead and take the Ravens. I think the Bengals win this game in the closest of close games by 1 to 3 points. As dumb as that is to say in the NFL, because how do you predict a one-point game in the NFL or a three-point game? I still think, though, the Ravens have about a 45 to 40% chance of winning the game outright. So give me the points. This is kind of the week of the underdogs, if you notice the theme here. I like Baltimore plus 3.5. We saw Cincinnati just look god-awful. No catches for T. Higgins. We had only 9 fantasy points for Jamar Chase when this guy is supposed to be right up there with Justin Jefferson. There's too many question marks with both offenses, but especially the Bengals. So take the points and take Baltimore.
All right. How about this one? The Chargers, Tennessee. The Chargers will come into Nashville there. It's favored on the road. The Chargers are favored by 3 with a 45.5. over under.
I like the over in this game. Don't love it, but I like the over in this game. And I like the home team again. The points.
Really?
I like a lot of underdogs
just
this week.
Three.
I just think the Chargers and just how many weeks in a row and how many, I should say weeks. Well, it is weeks in a row because we saw the Chargers completely fold like a cheap card table against Jacksonville in the playoffs the last time we saw him play. Same thing happens here again at home against the Dolphins in week 1. Did predict that one correctly, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just want to say that. But I just, the Chargers just, they're maddening. Their defense is not very good. Austin Eckler, Mayer, it's Wednesday as we're recording this. That's one thing we should note. We don't have the injury news really till Thursday or Friday. So some of these picks, you know, I have the right to change these to a small degree. I'll let you know the ones I think could change or where I might change and why, just so you know. This game, I don't think matters. I think I stay in Tennessee either way. But my point is, Steve, I don't think Austin Eckler can be 100% in this game. I think it's a high ankle sprain, not as bad as what Pat had. But Joshua Kelly is nowhere near Austin Eckler. We saw Mike Williams go down last week, banged up. As always, I just don't see the Chargers against a Mike Vrabel defense, A, being able to run the ball. You can't run the ball against Tennessee. And Herbert is just not, he's just not a winner. I like Justin Herbert. He's a great fantasy quarterback. He seems to get a lot of you know, he's kind of like Derek Carr in a way.
Sure.
He's not a winner, but he pads the stats. He has good numbers. You can see the talent, but he's just not a winner. The, you know, and Brandon, the coach, I just, give me the Titans. Mike Vrabel's one of the best coaches in the NFL. They're playing at home. I don't love Ryan Tannehill, but I thought DeAndre Hopkins looked okay in the offense. They're giving Derrick Henry some more spell to make him hold up all year. I think they're able to run the ball at will against the Chargers, and I don't think the Chargers can. And the Tennessee's at home. I'll take the points.
I will tell you one thing. There's the next three games, really. They're pretty much straight up. -3, -2, -1. I mean, this is what we're going to deal with here. But we'll first talk about the Bears taking on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is going to be at home. Again, only a -3 here.
The Bears, talk about a team. Let's just talk about how god-awful they looked against the Packers. Couldn't protect the quarterback. Offensive line was brutal. Couldn't do anything on defense. Justin Fields running for his life like it's a video game or like it's backyard football. The Bears are not good, man. The Bears are not good. They were supposed to be much better. Their defense, we didn't see it. Jordan Love just really picked them apart pretty easily. We saw Aaron Jones just go bananas against them. So I think it's a big week for Rashad White and the Buccaneers. I thought Baker Mayfield looked pretty damn good, by the way. His first
say
game
that again next week
with the Bucs. Yeah, we'll see how many weeks we can say that, but I like the Bucs a lot. This is one time here where I am going to go with the favorite here. The Bucs -3 playing at home. You know, Mike Evans, could he be a future Kansas City Chief? Probably not now that Chris Jones is back. We thought that might be what they do with the money if he's out till week 8, but now that Chris is back, I think he sticks with the Bucs for a while. You got Godwin out there, but I think it's a Rashad White week, and I think the Buccaneers defense is able to create enough havoc against this just questionable offensive line playing at home. The Bucs -3 is a fantastic bet.
All right, let's jump into another one here. Again, another one pretty much straight up. You've got the Packers traveling to Atlanta, take on the Falcons. Again, it's -3 for the Packers, 40.5, 40.5 for the over-under.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. This, to me, is one of the biggest coin flips on the slate. I don't think I'm going to bet on this game. If I had to take a team in this game, I'm going to take the Packers just because of pedigree. You know, I struggle to call Jordan Love more experienced on the other side than Desmond Ridder at quarterback, but he is. He's been in the league much longer. They've started, you know, approximately about the same amount of games in their careers. But I just think both teams have great running backs. They're both going to try to run the football. We know that that's what the Falcons want to do with Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson. Both look fantastic. We know that Aaron Jones and Dillon, or the A.J. Dillon, the 1-2 punch there for the Packers. So both teams are going to try to run the ball. I like the under in this game at 40.5. I don't think there's a lot of scoring in this game. I think, though, the Packers were able to eke this one out by 4 to 7 points. I just think the Packers are better at running the football. They're the better football team. Give me the Packers in this game. Hopefully they have some of the receivers back too, including Dobbs.
Another game I'm not sure if anybody cares about. The Colts will travel to Texas. This time they'll take on Houston, and it'll be a home game for Houston here, and it's -1.
So it's basically a picket.
Yeah. You pick it. 39.5, by the way.
There's just no way in hell I can bet on the Texans. There's no way in hell I can bet on the Texans. And I thought Anthony Richardson looked pretty damn good. Now, Deion Jackson, the running back for the Colts that I had in there since Taylor's out for at least 4 games, absolute trash. Just absolutely god-awful. One of the worst running back games I've ever seen. For those who don't know, I watch every single game with NFL Sunday Ticket. I watch 4 live at a time on each window, and then I go back and watch the ones I miss. So I do watch every single game. That's how I make money consistently year after year. The Colts, though, Anthony Richardson looked really good, I thought. Pittman is Pittman. He's a stud. But Zach Moss is the key to this game. If Zach Moss is in at running back, I really like the Colts. If he's not, I still like them. But just so you know, if Zach Moss is in there at running back, definitely take the Colts in this game. It's a pretty easy bet. If he's not, I'm a little more iffy on this. The Texans, Dobbs, better at quarterback than we, or sorry, not Dobbs, Stroud, better at quarterback than we, I was thinking of Romeo Dobbs, better at quarterback than we thought he would look in week 1. This is a bad team. Robert Woods is a nice, by the way, fantasy pickup if you're looking for a floor guy. I just want to put a plug in there for Robert Woods. But the Colts should win this game by 7 points if Zach Moss plays. Definitely bet it in that scenario. If he's out, maybe stay away, but I still like the Colts.
All right, a couple 3:05 games, Central Time. The Niners will travel to play the Rams. The Niners favored. A lot of people say this is the team to go all the way.
How good did they look week 1?
7.5 here at a 44.5 over under. What's your thought on this? To the Rams?
Niners the real deal? By the way, at quarterback, he looks so good, man. He does. Into last year, right? Yeah, he's looking fantastic. You got McCaffrey out there. They can't keep giving him the ball 25 times a week, or he's going to break down. So maybe a little more Elijah Mitchell. this week. But Ayuk went nuts. They got Samuel on that offense. But it's the defense with San Francisco, right? Yeah. Defense is stacked with Warner and Bosa back and all those guys over there on the other side of the ball. Conversely, I thought the Rams played way over their head last week. I don't think the Rams are good. I still think the Rams win four or five games the entire year. I think they're one of the worst seven or eight teams in the NFL. I really do. So I like the Niners on a week of underdogs. I still like the favorite here at 7.5. I'd rather, again, get this in a teaser or a parlay. Is this something we're going to talk more about later? I don't know. But San Francisco, if I'm going to take a team, I'm definitely taking them. But if you want to take this as part of a teaser of any sort or a moneyline parlay, the Niners are fantastic and a near lock to win the game outright.
All right. How about the New York team, the New York Giants, that are favored by 5.5?
Do they just give up another touchdown to the Dallas now?
They're favored.
Is that game still going?
Against the Cardinals, 40 over under. What's your thought on this? Can the Giants actually win?
My thought on this is the fact that the Giants are favored by 5.5 on the road after that performance tells you how god awful that Vegas thinks the Cardinals are. I mean, how bad did the Giants look, Steve? I mean, they had that first drive where they run up and down the field, right? And they get in the red zone and they have a bad snap and they get a field goal block for a touchdown. And then they do the genius thing after that against a great Dallas pass rush. They decide to throw the ball seven times in a row and get sacked and interceptions and strip sacks. And it was just genius play calling by Daboll and company there. Just a great job there by the Giants. That's sarcasm. But I mean, this is such a tough game. This is a close your eyes, put the bet in on the Giants, and then close your eyes and turn off all all score updates and just don't watch this game if you're betting on it. It's not going to be pretty. Both of these teams suck. The Giants are not near as good as we thought they were going to be. And I get it. It's 1 week. Everyone has a bad week. But their offensive line looked like, did you ever play Super Tecmo Bowl on Nintendo back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Remember if you guessed the play right, all 11 guys come through at once? That's what it looked like with the Giants offensive line against Dallas. And Dallas's defense is good, but they're not that good. I think the Giants are legitimately bad. I mean, I think they're awful. Darren Waller is going to break down. He has already got the hamstring issues on the defensive side. This supposed dominating Giants, you know, front four didn't show up there, but still it's the Cardinals, Steve. The Cardinals had the worst roster in the NFL talent wise. They had a pretty good first week. I think the Cardinals regress and the Giants come a lot forward. I mean, the Giants aren't that bad. I'm not saying they're that bad, but they cover this game, but don't watch it. Close your eyes, cover your ears, and just hope, you know, check the score later.
All right. How about the next New York team? This time the Jets taking on the Cowboys. They're going to go to Dallas. Can they win this? Dallas favored, though, by 9.
I mean, there's no way I'm taking Dallas by 9 in this game. I mean, I understand it's Zach Wilson. First of all, did anybody really think that Aaron Rodgers was going to hold up at the age of 40 playing on But does anybody think Aaron Rodgers? Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Nobody thinks the player's going to get hurt.
What do you think the line would be in this game if Aaron Rodgers was playing? Dallas by 4?
Dallas by 3.
3? That's ridiculous to me. Home field. I mean, Zach Wilson's bad, right? We remember the seeing ghosts, you know, when he was mic'd up and the interceptions. He seems to turn the ball over. But Zach Wilson's not Nathan Peterman. Let's not act like Zach Wilson's the worst quarterback ever to come off the bench. He's
number 2 pick overall.
He's fine. I mean, weren't you impressed by that Jets defense? They looked phenomenal. I mean, both of these teams have great defenses. The over-under is 39. I wouldn't touch that. I'd lean under. I still wouldn't touch that. It's kind of too low because you get a couple turnovers or, you know, a punt return and some things happen that you're the prevent defense at the end or whatever it might be. The Jets are the play here. Plus 9, that's ridiculous. That's disrespect. I take the Jets plus 9 here.
All right, our last afternoon game. This time the Commanders are going to head to Mile High. Mile High favored, the Broncos favored by 3.5. Over-under is 38.5. But I will say the Commanders won last week.
Mm-hmm, they did.
You know, the Chiefs lost. Is it because the offensive coordinator's not here?
That's right. Sleeping with the enemy, Eric.
We'll go there.
Again, it's the week of the underdogs for the most part. I love the 3.5 points here with the Commanders. The Broncos, it's interesting. You know, it's funny that Sean Payton comes out talking trash and then goes for an onside kick the first play of the game and misses it and looks like an idiot, and his team loses at home to the Raiders in a game that pretty much everybody thought they would win. Russell Wilson, you know, just throws to the running back every time. It's just look down the field, throw to Devontae Williams. Look down the field, throw to Samaje Perine. Look down the field, throw to the tight end. It's not a good offense. The Commanders have a good defense. Hopefully Chase Young is good to go for this game. Sam Howell looked okay. You know, had a couple turnovers. Mm-hmm. One of them kind of wasn't his fault. The Broncos defense is not what it's been in recent years. Take the points. I think the Commanders probably win this game outright. The Broncos don't look good. They don't look ready. I think everyone had a little bit of more higher hopes, and it's one game. I understand that. And the Commanders didn't look great. I also understand that. Take the points. The Commanders most likely win this game out.
I'm pumped for the Sunday night football game.
I am too.
Dolphins going to be traveling to New England. And this is a good one, too. I mean, it's 2.5. The Dolphins are favored by 2.5. The over-under is 47. I like this game.
I do, and I really like the Dolphins in this game. Spoiler alert, this was almost my lock of the week. This is not my lock of the week, but I really like the Dolphins minus 2.5. I mean, it's the Belichick factor, right? If there was no Belichick, the Dolphins are favored by 4 or 5 in this game, and they should be, and they'd cover that. But Belichick does make it does make you pause, right, about betting. The thing is, though, I just think Tua looked so damn good. Maybe the most impressive quarterbacking. I mean, we thought Mac Jones looked great. Purdy looked great. And as far as kind of the surprising slash really statement-type performances, I think he's in that as well. Tua just looked fantastic out there. I mean, we see them able to run the ball when Mike McDaniels doesn't get the ADHD and just be obsessed with throwing. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill just looks like he's taking this game to another level. You've got Waddle out there. You got all these weapons, all these secondary weapons as well. I just think it's too much. Bill Belichick likes to scheme one thing away from you. I don't think his defense is good enough to shut down, even if he's scheming out one player. I don't think you can scheme out Tyreek Hill at this point. I think you just let him get his... Hopefully you hold him to 100 yards and 9 receptions and don't let him break multiple 40-yard plays. That's kind of what you do at this point. He's a fantasy just absolute stud. But, Steve, I think the Dolphins were able to get it done just because I don't think Belichick can completely stop him. Now, on the other side of the ball, the Dolphins' defense did not look great against the Chargers. And, you know, I mean, Mac Jones did look great. You got Zeke out there eating behind Stevenson. It's an interesting offense to watch now. We don't know exactly how good they're going to be. I do think the Patriots are probably more like a league average offense now compared to where they've been in recent years. So I think this game is closer than maybe some people that are huge in the Dolphins like me think it's going to be. I still think the Dolphins win this game by a touchdown, 5 points, 6 points, something in there. So I really, really like the Dolphins by 2.5 in this game.
All right, now you got two Monday night games.
I love it, the doubleheader.
We'll start with game number one. They're at different times, though, Lee. Not really a doubleheader. One's at 6:15, one's at 7:15.
Why are they doing that? Could they not have made one 8:15?
Yeah, I mean, that would have helped. At least it would have been able to see the end. But I guess you pick your game. We'll start with pick number one. The Saints going to travel to Carolina. Again, pretty much straight up. Both these games are pretty much straight up. Not that sexy for Monday Night Football, but it is what it is.
Can I ask you a quick question before you ask that? You have NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV. Yeah. What were your thoughts on it? Because real quick,
I liked
before,
it. You're going to complain about it because you complain about everything.
Well, I don't like that you can't pick the games on the four box.
No, that's a gambling problem that you have. You want to choose it for your gambling issues. I enjoy it just to watch the games.
All right. Anyway, back.
So that's your choice.
So Saints minus 3 at the Panthers.
Yes, correct.
Now, this is a really good bet for the Saints here. This is Bryce Young. Let's talk about Bryce Young. I took him in some of my fantasy drafts as a backup quarterback, and I'm not giving up on him yet. Did not look good, though, in week one. We saw Miles Sanders and Hubbard out there looking pretty good out of the backfield, catching the ball, running the ball. The Panthers will try to run the ball. It's tough to do that against the Saints. The Panthers also don't have their top starting corner. We already know that here on Wednesday in this game. So I think the Saints are the play. I think Rashid looks... I mean, the Saints have a three-headed monster at receiver now between him and Olave and Michael Thomas. Jamal Williams look like trash, but that's the Titans' front four, the front seven. We can't run against the Titans. I think the Saints are a really good play here, minus 3. I think they're able to run the ball. I think they're able to do whatever they want against this defense for Carolina, especially without the corner. And I just think... offensively, Carolina is not going to be able to run the ball. I think Bryce Young's not quite ready to take that next step quite yet. He's not quite this, you know, his number one pick, but not as advanced as Anthony Richardson. So I really, really do like the Saints right here, minus 3.
All right, next one that for Monday night, an hour later. So you pick it, right? I mean, you just wait and stay a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess end of the third quarter, it'll be over for the second game, right?
Or if you even care about this next game, the Browns traveling to Steel City out there, right? The Steelers minus 2 for the Browns. So pretty much straight up. Again.
We have a friend out there. I forget his name. We're not going to acknowledge his name now that he hated on the Chiefs. We have a friend named, like, I don't know, Trevor or something like that works for the Steelers. So
Barker.
Hating on our Chiefs. Come on, man. I know he's probably joking, but yeah, the Browns minus 2 at Pittsburgh, man. So what do we think of the Browns, right? They come out, the defense looked phenomenal. Is it more that Joe Burrow's calf sucks and he didn't have a preseason and he just pooped the bed there and it was the, you know, not great weather conditions? Is it just that? Or is the Browns defense really, really good? Or is it both? I mean, probably a little bit of both on that one. The Browns defense is not supposed to be elite. This could be a top 10 unit, though, in the NFL. Now, the Steelers got shut down, but they were facing the best, the OG. To me, the best two defenses in the NFL, the Niners and the Jets right now. So It's interesting. We don't know a lot of questions with these two teams, right? We don't know how good the Browns defense is. We don't know how bad the Steelers offense is because of who they were facing last week. Obviously, the Steelers defense didn't look good in that game against the Niners either. There's no way, though, I'm taking the Browns here. This has got trap written all over it. This is a lot of people are going to take the Browns. I think the Steelers respond in a big way at home. I'm still a believer in their offense. I think they're able to stop the run just enough. The Nick Chubb show, he looks fantastic. The best pound-for-pound running back in the NFL. Maybe not the best stats every year, but I really like him. But I think the Steelers in T.J. Watt, while he's still healthy for the five games a year, he's healthy. I think they're able to shut down the Browns here a decent amount. Deshaun Watson still didn't look great. So, you know, I think the Steelers respond. The offense is better than we think. They just played the Niners. So take the 2 points. If you want to take them on the money line, you can do that as well.
All right, so we got one more game before we get into the lock of the week. Kansas City, you don't want to miss this.
No, that's it.
Yeah, one more game.
No, that's it.
The Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
The last
sorry,
game.
I was thinking about there's not a third Monday
game. Your high-pitched voice went right there. You were excited. I get it. Okay. All right, that being said, we've got one more game, and then we're going to get into our lock of the week.
You're such a dick.
So that being said, this is an opportunity. Let's get serious.
Is this
here
our
with
Chiefs
our
music?
This is the Chiefs music. Okay. Now, I just feel like it makes sense. I wanted something to liven up the party before we get into our lock of the week. Chiefs hitting the road, all right? Chris Jones back in the lineup. I'm hitting refresh as we're currently. I was hoping by the time Dave would get done talking for his 45 minutes about sports betting that we would have an opportunity to see what the injury report
or
looks
some
for
Kelsey
the Chiefs.
News. Yeah,
correct. That's why I'm sitting here hitting refresh hoping. But we're unsure on Travis Kelsey, really unsure. Chris Jones just did a press conference, unsure too. What? You can kill it. It doesn't have to be that loud.
Lefty, come on.
Unsure how much Chris Jones will be used, how much he's able to be helpful to the Chiefs or not. But the Chiefs, they got handed to them, right? I mean, that was embarrassing at home. They did all that stuff too. So can they go on the road and win this, David? This time they're going to be traveling to your old home, Jacksonville. You love the Jags.
Home of two of my three cats.
That's right. -3, 51 over under. What's your thought?
You don't bet against Patrick Mahomes on this game. The Chiefs are the play here. This is not the lock of the week, though. This is a game I will have money on this game because anytime I'm getting the Chiefs at a field goal or under, I'm going to take them. I don't care if they're playing on the moon against the 85 Bears. I'm going to take them. I just think the Chiefs are such good value at -3. Yeah, the Jags looked really good. It was the Colts, Trevor Lawrence, Sunshine, as you call him, has so many weapons. Calvin Ridley, arguably, you know, outside of Tyreek Hill, arguably and Justin Jefferson right up there is the three best receiving games of the week. Week one, he looked just like he used to when he was a stud with the Falcons. And you throw him in there with Ingram and Kirk and Jones. I mean, they've got a lot of weapons. ETN, it's going to be tough for the Chiefs. Getting Chris Jones back will be a big deal in this game just because at least you can, you know, focus a little more on the passing game with the rest of your defense and kind of hope he can straight up take care of ETN and the ground game there. For the Jags, he'll play in this game. I suspect 75% to 80% of the snaps. By the way, tip of the cap to Derek Nnadi, who I thought really stepped up a lot in his place week one. This game, though, I think the Chiefs will have to score, Steve, 31 to 34 points to win this game. I'm going to give Jacksonville 28, so I'm all over the over in this game, and I'm all over the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs probably win this game by 6 points. It's one of those games where it's not quite a touchdown, but more than a field goal. They cover the game. Your thoughts now?
I definitely think the Chiefs win maybe 7, maybe 10.
Okay.
Max.
Just like Jake Lutz.
Yeah, I feel like a 10 is pushing it, but I definitely think they're going to win by 7. They're motivated. Obviously, they could be a little bit embarrassed. They could have egg on their face. You know, the world champs, they got taken down by the Lions, unexpected. Chris Jones is back. Is Travis Kelce back? I'm unsure. Just a lot of different things, and definitely a lot of momentum, I think, for the Chiefs coming into this week, too. Again, I'm unsure about Travis Kelce, unsure really how much Chris Jones will do. But there it is. All right, let's jump into this, our last part of the show. Let me explain before I play it here, Lefty. 46-24. Lock of the week. You break that down, that's 66%. He's trying, ladies, to get to 69%. That's always his goal in life. Let's do this. Here we go, the lock of the week.
Let's make you some money. Time for the lock of the week.
46 wins, 24 losses on the lock of the week over the last two-plus seasons into the third here. 66%, and we lost week one. We took the L on my forehead. I took it like a man. This week, though, I'm going to celebrate.
Only took 30 seconds, by the way.
Like
only
a
took
man.
30 seconds.
I hate you. So you know. I'm celebrating this week. We're going to have some bourbon. I don't know. Maybe something else with bourbon. Maybe some little Coke. Maybe a Jack and Coke. Maybe that's what I go with. And a top hat. Maybe play some Frank Sinatra because we've got our lock. Man, I love this so much. It is a two team. I know, Steve, that you really, really like the teases. You mentioned over and over you like it when your wife wears a halter top, but then you're in public, so you can't do anything about it. You tell me
who
that all
says
the time.
Halter top.
You told me that before.
This is 1998.
But a teaser, two team, a 6-point teaser. The Buffalo Bills -8.5 against the Raiders. Josh Allen. Maybe he got teased by Haley Steinfeld. Maybe that's why they lost. Wow. Maybe that's why he was so bad. Haley is not going to let that happen again. The Bills come out. They're going to cover this. Get that down to 2.5. Then the San Francisco 49ers -7.5. In this game, they are going to destroy the Rams. I'm very comfortable with this teaser. Two teams, 6-point teaser. Lock of the week. Buffalo Bills, San Francisco 49ers. Let's go!
He definitely likes to tease. Doesn't have much to show for it from last week when he was 30.
Okay. How 30, about yoga pants?
30 seconds in. That's a little bit better.
Leggings.
They call them leggings, not so much halter top. It's not 1997. We appreciate you checking out our show, KC Press Box, every single Wednesday. New show. Make sure you tell a friend about the show. Wherever you're listening to us, we appreciate you making it to the end, obviously. But get more info, too, about the show, kcpressbox.com, kcpressbox.com. Can the Chiefs turn things around after their loss at home against the Lions? Can Chris Jones make a big impact? This is his first game back. And obviously, can Patty Mahomes get some wide receivers that will catch the ball? We'll find out here in the next week.
For that matter, can Steve Serrano get his wife along with multiple kids in the next week with those yoga pants on?
We'll see what the odds are. It's a -3. I'll tell you that on that. Thanks for listening to the show. I am Steve Serrano.
Over under 69. We are out.
And that's Dave-O. We'll see you next week on the KC Press Box.